This episode of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iPhone, iPad, and iPod, Android, Kindle, Windows Phone, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Marina Sirtis, Deanna Troi from Star Trek The Next Generation. You're listening to Trek FM.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
It's time for another serving of Earl Grey, our dedicated TNG show. I'm Philip Gilfus, sitting in the center chair this week, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chief Science Officer Daniel Daniel, why are you at Tactical wearing gold? Are you Parallel Universe, Daniel?
Don't you know, Philip, this is the what if the chief characters of the show didn't live up to their potential and had to be reassigned to a different division. So yes, of course, it makes sense that I would just be in plain old gold and not the prestigious blue shirt that I, so longingly belong in.
You're just like some grunt now, just shooting phasers and trying to punch holes in the view screen.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Rawr!
Makes sense. There you go. Well, Mr. Proof. All right. I'm also joined by our executive officer, Commander Darren Moser. Now, it strikes me as odd that we have an executive officer and a first officer, but Darren, you seem like you completely belong here.
Yes, I totally do. You could see my Starfleet service record I have printed on this pad that I carry around with me at all times to validate that claim, but yes. Since we've been at war for many, many years with the bloody Cardassians, which is totally true, I've been stationed here, yes, on the Enterprise to serve as executive officer, which is totally what I am. I am the executive officer. This is what we look like. But some look different, but this is what we look like.
Well, thank you, McMoser. Well, for folks who can't tell, there's a watching, TV shows or even movies outside of Star Trek. One thing that annoys me, and I know it's just probably just a me thing, is when I see episodes that didn't really happen. There's an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I don't know if it's in the last season, where it's like, oh, is Buffy really just in an insane asylum, imagining the whole thing? And then it kind of ends
critiquing Far Beyond the Stars?
Well, don't get me started. But and there's these things, there'll be these episodes where maybe this whole series is a dream. And I'm like, okay, so did you just waste my time then? Is it or is it not? But then it does strike me, The Next Generation has done this on more than one occasion. So these are the It Never Happened episodes, and they fall into a variety of categories. So I'm hoping you all will join me on this journey of whether these episodes, did they waste our time, or was it worth it that, the characters didn't really experience the actual events that happened for the last 35 minutes, So, because it's like, well, if they never experienced it, do they actually grow or do they actually learn anything? And so anyway, we'll go into this and y'all can tell me whether I'm just being crazy or not. Okay.
This is approaching Picard's conspiracy territory.
Exactly. Exactly. It is. So the first It Never Happened episodes, I categorize as no memory or the amnesia episodes. And so the first one that automatically comes to mind is Clues. For those who may not remember, this is the episode where there's the experience of the planet or something, and then they're like, oh, all the crews, it feels like something happened, but Data's like, oh, no, as everyone gets up off the floor, Data's like, oh, no, we just experienced something, no worries, B-dubs, don't worry. It's
been 30 seconds, don't even worry about it.
Yeah, and then they throughout the episode, they discover, no, we were out for longer that time, and, oh, Data's lying, and this whole big thing. And it all comes down to, Data, why are you lying? And then reveals it's because some, xenophobic, it's always a xenophobic race. One of them, will either explode you or you forget everything. And so the crew had chosen, and Picard had ordered Data. And so, this is because you love clues. We're humans, we like clues. And so they decided to do it one more time. That was a dress rehearsal. And so one more time. So that whole episode.
The aliens totally understand the concept of a dress rehearsal.
That's right. No, and a tech rehearsal, too. They're very important. and a Q to Q. These are all very important theater terms. But what happens at the end of the episode is that they try one more time, and Data is the only person who has memory of anything that happened. No other characters do. So, like, in an episode like that, Daniel, like, you know, I mean, does it... I mean, it's an interesting premise, but did they waste our time on that one? Or, you know, because Data's the only one who remembers that episode.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm with you in the fact that I do get annoyed sometimes with these episodes. Like, oh, it was in their mind the whole time. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I just wasted 45 minutes in some crazy guy's delusions. You know, I kind of go along with you as far as that's concerned. Clues is an interesting example because it did actually happen and there was a reason for it happening. And they don't necessarily erase it from what actually happened. They just erase it from the main character's memories. But it is a significant event that happens. So it doesn't bother me so much, I would say.
What about you, Darren, when the whole crew determines that they're a week off of the next Starfleet calendar? But anyway.
Yeah, I don't really feel cheated in this episode because even though their memories get erased, we get to experience this situation where what if people think Data's lying? And that's a really interesting concept, you know, where they're able to present that concept without Data actually lying and getting in trouble for it. So it's nice to see, because that's the majority of the episode, is they're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on, and everything keeps pointing back to Data, and he's making up flimsier and flimsier, you know, technobabble about, oh, well, it must be this reason. And they're like, no, Data, I don't think so.
There's a lie that I think with Geordi talks to Picard, like, I can't even believe Data said that with a straight
face. He's like, yeah, I can't even believe he suggested it. So in that part, it's a fun kind of thought experiment that they could have done, you know, on a holodeck or some other Starfleet training if they needed to. But the way they presented it, I think it worked. So I don't necessarily feel this one's a reset button per se, as it is, you know, an experiment in focusing on Data lying and what would that do to the crew as they try to figure out what's going on.
Here's my question. Does Captain Picard outrank Captain Picard? Because he gives an order to Data. So which Captain
Picard? Have you been in contact with Starfleet Command? Are they doing another performance review on me? They seem to be doing a lot of those since I sent my logs back.
Well, it's more of a psychiatric review more than a career. Okay, well, that's clues. Now, this one was a reach, but I'm still going to use it. Thine Own Self, where the only person who gets amnesia is Data. Because for those who don't remember, this is actually two stories going on in this episode. This is actually the Troy Kills Geordi episode, if I'm correct. But it's also the Data lands on a mission to recover some radioactive material or probe or something. And he gets radioactived and loses his memory.
Did you just turn that word into a verb or an adjective?
I did.
Radioactived?
Yeah, and he has the powers of a spider. And he loses
Data, spider Data. Spins a multi-polymer alloy out of his arm.
We can't use contractions. But he goes into a village, a pre-warp civilization, but he doesn't have any memory of who he is or what he is, and hijinks ensue with him being burned at the stake, if I remember correctly. metaphorically, you know. And then sort of like Data, you know, Troy and Riker, you know, find Data's body, quote unquote. And they're like, oh, Data, you had a good experience, made a difference in this young girl's life, blah, blah, blah. He's like, okay, I'll take your word for it.
Prime directive be damned.
I mean, like, I mean, this is sort of a reverse one of like, you know, this character had this great journey. But he doesn't because he forgets all of it. So like, Darren, I mean, is that meaningless to Data?
Well, no, but he doesn't forget it. He just doesn't know who he is for the majority of the episode.
Well, I mean, at the end of it, when he sort of doesn't remember that.
Oh, it's been a while since I've watched it. I thought he remembered it. It's like his old memory of who he is comes back. But are you saying he doesn't remember the mission?
What he doesn't remember.
Oh, well, that's a bummer. It's a good, you know, yeah. And then that's a little annoying because he kind of grows and he, by not knowing who he is through a lot of it, he's not like self, you know, not self-deprecating where he's like, oh, well, I can't do this and I can't, you know, have an emotion. He just is.
He's like, humors are not elements, woman.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, this does not sound right. Yeah.
What about you, Daniel? You know, you always
What's in the box,
Data?
What's in the box?
You know, that as a slight aside, the conversation between Data and the quote unquote teacher in that episode might be one of my favorite moments of TNG in general. It's pretty awesome. And, you know, without getting too deep into it, it's I love it so much. Yeah, I don't feel cheated by it at all. I mean, I certainly not by the memory loss thing. I guess it kind of makes sense. Yeah, at the end, whatever. It is what it is. But and it's so inconsistent because Data can, like, oh, I know what science is and I know what these elements are, but I don't remember my name and I don't know what kind of a creature I am. Like, so it's like super
very selective. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is what it is. But
doesn't
it
have like a backup memory core in his foot or something? I mean, that would seem like a good idea, Dr. Seaman.
And ethics programming.
Yes.
It tells an interesting story. At least we get that out of it, I guess.
Yes. So those are my, I can't think of any other amnesia ones. Those are usually the most like, we did this whole episode and then we don't remember any of it. So the next category I call it's complicated because they did happen, but not really. So the first one is you guys, you'll love it. Inner Light, you know, so that happened. Or did it happen? So, I mean, I think we've had this conversation before, but I'll just give the floor to y'all. So, like, Daniel, did Inner Light really happen? Picard really go back?
Well, he didn't
know. Live alive.
Picard, no. Under those conditions, under that definition, no, that did not happen. But that's not what the point is. He was not transported back in time to this civilization. This civilization was beamed into his head in the 1530s.
Totally different situation.
Well, it is.
Was reverse Locutist. Got it.
It is a totally different situation. And since this is the situation we're talking about, it actually becomes relevant and we can nerd out on it. Yeah, he's not going back in time and experiencing this entire people. He's not encountering this entire culture as it was. What he is experiencing is a culture that kind of pushes its experience towards an individual. So he's sitting here on the floor of the Enterprise Bridge, and he's down.
But it's great carpet, so he's comfortable.
He's comfortable. So it's 15 to 30 seconds of him experiencing 40, 50 years of lifetime. And, I like the Inner Light. I'm not in love with it like a lot of people are. And I know, you know, Philip, that it's not your favorite thing in the whole world. And I understand where you're coming from. But on the other hand, it is a significant difference. It did happen. Picard did experience these things and they were significant to him. But this experience was kind of pushed to him.
Like the Matrix.
Even though it wasn't real. Yes, exactly.
It was downloaded. It's exactly. He knows Kung Fu after this, which is awesome. So
right. Yeah, instead of, it's a little less cool than the Matrix. So like, you know, yeah. At the end, you know, when that famous line, when Neo's like, I know Kung Fu. And then instead it's like Picard, like, I know the flute. Like, you know, it's a little less cool.
I know 8 ways to make sun protection. It's not quite the same.
But it is, you know, it's no less significant.
Yeah, no, I think because he does remember it all, and I'm just glad that the probe comes across the Enterprise, and I can just picture like a Klingon cruiser, and the captain's walking along, and all of a sudden just like, ah, and he like falls over, and then he wakes up, and he's like,
when he hits that floor,
and he's like, destroy that thing, and they blow it up, and then he goes into like a Klingon psychiatric hospital, because he's like out of his mind, and it just, you know, wouldn't really preserve... You, there's just one probe. They couldn't send more, but I don't know. It just seems kind of they put in all their eggs.
The Klingon version of the inner line. He's like,
he kills everyone in the village. He's so bad. He just kills everyone, and then he's just alone, like,
as
for 40 years.
As the sun slowly burns him.
Yeah. He's like, he, like, puts his hand out into the sun. Now I'm just picturing him, though, like, actually becoming, like, a sweet old man, and he's got his little son. He's like, did you co-plot with sun protection?
You see, like, the half-Klingon children walking around.
I'm just saying, it's very lucky that they found Picard and not, you know, the Romulan Star Empire or something. But on the next Steve episode rewrite of Earl Grey, the inner light Klingon version.
The inner Kochlach. Next on the list, obviously great episode, but it falls under this category, I think. Yesterday's Enterprise. Did it? Well, Daniel, I think we all know Yesterday's Enterprise really happened, because look at this person, Commander Sela. So we know it really happened, right?
Oh, man, this one just messes with time for no
reason. Yeah, this is one of the tougher kind of did or did it not happen kind of.
Because a parallel universe in our universe, or alternate
timeline? So, you know what? I'm actually going to leave this to Metatrex to determine the determinism and the predestination paradoxes. I'm going to let them handle that. But did it actually happen is a really good question. Yes, it did happen because two things. You mentioned Sela, unfortunately, but that is a consequence of the episode, and also Guinan remembers it. So it is a thing that has actually happened.
I'm now totally picturing Picard or Data or someone. He like wipes off like he grabs like a space pen and he's like, no. See, when the Enterprise C came forward, it went into an alternate 2455. And so we jumped over that minute and this is controlled by Biff Industries everywhere. It's really bad.
Picard built this to scale model of the Enterprise C.
Of the Devron system. No, just kidding. But yeah, no, this one, it's really hard because if it wasn't for Guinan, this would almost be like a pocket episode where, like, we know something's changed, but literally none of our characters are aware of the change, which would be really interesting, to say the least. So, yeah, it doesn't really affect our prime characters, but again, it's just kind of one of those what ifs. Like, what if the Battle of Narenda 3 didn't happen and everything's really bad?
See, when I was growing up, that was one of my favorite. Whenever I went to a comic book store, I would look in Captain America pile, and then I would go to the what ifs, because what ifs were awesome in Marvel. And it's like, what if, you know, what if the Punisher was Captain America? That literally was one. I have that one somewhere.
Oh, so there's this, I don't know, a ton of comic books. So they have like a whole series that have
what ifs. What if, like, Kingpin knew Daredevil was blind? Or what if, you know, like, other people became the Fantastic Four? Or what, you know, it's like all these things.
It's like the janitor, and he's like, I have magic stretching powers. This is great.
I'm trying to remember the different ones I have. But anyway, because there's always the Watcher, you know, would be the narrator.
Oh, yeah. In world Earth 582B.
Yeah, that you know of.
Comic books are real.
Okay, so the next one is Tapestry, or Tacustry. So, Darren, did that really happen? Did Q
is
really
Q God?
Bring back Picard? And did Picard really go back in time?
I mean, it's obviously with the power of Q. I think it's just a very elaborate illusion, because he doesn't really...
It's not a trick, Darren. It's an illusion.
Oh, my God. I would love...
It's an illusion.
Oh, man.
Q never reveals his tricks. I mean, illusions. Well, I mean, obviously,
No. I got like Q, like, I am God Picard. And you hear the narrator voice. That was a lie.
Well, I mean, when we see Picard, though, he's not young. He looks the same. So obviously he's just experiencing
I don't know what I expected.
Yeah, through an illusion. So, yeah, this is an interesting one, especially since it's Q, and Q just always... We know he likes creating illusions for the crew to experience. Like, obviously, they didn't get transported to Robin Hood era.
No one's seen Q driving the little, what are those things called?
Zamboni machine?
Oh, the Segway.
Segway.
Why does Q have a Segway? I'm lost.
This is Arrested Development.
We're doing Arrested Development.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. Okay. But anyway, so yeah, I don't feel... This one really happened. It's just Q, not like All Good Things, where Q actually changed time in some regards.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that, Darren.
Okay.
But what about you, Daniel? I mean, you know, it's a great episode. I'm not trying to say it's not, but like, I mean, was this just like a dream for Picard? Or, I mean, and if that's all it was, what is value does that have?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a silly question. It almost sounds like you've never watched the episode before, Philip. The entire point of the episode was to get Picard to be grateful for his life that he's had and the choices he's made. Of course, it's okay for it to be personal and entirely in his head. Tapestry is actually kind of also an interesting example of this because, yeah, again, it's just about Picard. It's just about what he knows and what he learns from that. It doesn't matter... I have my theory. My theory is that Q created an alternate timeline for that story. That thing never existed. It wasn't a real thing, but Q just kind of created this pocket universe and just to teach Picard this lesson. But it doesn't matter if that's the case. It doesn't matter if it's real or in his head, because what he gets out of that message is what matters. And...
Well, because like if it doesn't really happen, and you know Crusher just you know saved Picard, then it really wasn't important that he had that artificial heart. It was just like, well, no, Crusher just saved you. That was. It's not like you were really near death or anything, and you had to choose. Oh, if only I had a real heart, and you know.
Well, no, but on the surface, that's. I guess you could look at it that way, but that's not what the episode's about. The episode is ultimately about regret and this idea of could I go back and change the past? If I went back and changed the past and I tried to manipulate who I was and what happened to me, would it serve any purpose? Would it make me better? Like, no, we are the sum of our parts. We are our past. We are the experiences that we've had. And that's why it doesn't matter whether or not Q showing up in his bed trying to give him flowers exists because it's just a part of that. It's a part of that vision. So
I think you're mixing it up, but I like it. Q showing up in the bed to give him flowers. That would have been like, just like rolls over.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Flower for ooh.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I am doing that.
Oh goodness. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, another one, I mean, obviously, you know, these episodes just go higher in quality as I list them. Because next, as Darren mentioned, is All Good Things. So, again, you know, Picard travels to...
Q messing with everything.
Travels to the past, and yet doesn't seem to have any effect of the past. And it's a different past than we know. But then he goes to the future, or does he? So, Darren, what do you think of All Good Things? Did it really happen? Not the present, because we can assume that really happened. But, like, the past and the future.
But even the present, because... Well, okay, no, that's right. The present is the main lens
well,
we're
no,
seeing
you're right, Darren.
Through.
You're right. It is the present, because the episode ends with him at the beginning of the episode. So even that present that we saw didn't really happen.
Right. Right, yeah, because they don't go to the Devron system in the present. They don't
the whole thing's a
go
reset
there
button.
In the past. It's a big reset button. But I'd say it works, though, because Picard remembers in the end. And he's able to tell, you know...
Do you mean
for that
to
very
tell
last
me,
scene.
Picard? No, sorry.
Yeah, but he remembers, and then he tells everyone why, you know, what kind of happened. And yes, while it is kind of circular... Where he created the problem and then created the solution that no one else even knows. But I think It's all good things. Everyone loves them.
You just can't all good things at Darren. Show me your math.
We should have done this a long time ago. Okay.
Because it's I guess one of the things about these kinds of episodes is that are there consequences? Again, look, all good, I'm great. All good things is great. I'm definitely not trying to say that. I'm just trying to.
Are you sure? Because I get the feeling you may not like.
I'm playing Feklar's advocate. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
but Daniel, I mean, you know, the of consequences. So like the events in the past, you basically get a free for all. Like you do whatever you want in the past. You're not going to affect the present or the future at all. Okay. I'll just, you know, smack Yar and dwarf
like, let's
her
destroy Farpoint Station. See what happens. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is space jellyfish? Now it's space calamari.
And then you have a future, which may or may not
joy,
be the future.
And this instead of joy and gratitude, it's like destruction and fear. Destruction and fear.
But then you have a future, which is that the actual future? Is that just Picard creating that? Like, does Geordi really? Because then, of course, you know.
Does Data really add that spot of gray to his hair?
Does Data really live?
Ooh. Well, he kind of does.
But. The Enterprise D died, too, by the way.
But that's true. And taking Nemesis into account, that would have to be B4.
And,
if that actually...
And what about Enterprise D? That died in Generations.
Well, and this goes to show this goes to show, and this is kind of
instead of bolting on a third nacelle, Deanna crashed the freaking ship. So,
and this
maybe that's why Picard told them about the future because he knew it would change and they'd all get messed up.
You know, and this goes to show you, this is for a lot of reasons. I kind of think of All Good Things as Tapestry 2.0. I mean, I think Q follows the same rules that he does in Tapestry. These are events that may or may not happen, that may or may not have happened. These are alternate timelines. I mean, if you look at the beginning, the beginning of All Good Things and the end of All Good Things, and the same thing with Tapestry, the beginning of the episode, the end of the episode. And this is exactly why you brought this up, Philip. Technically, they don't matter. Nothing really happens. It's actually just a character study for Picard for both of those episodes. And he learned something. And at the end of both of those, both of those things, you know, they go through this experience together being they, Q and Picard. And, you know, I mean, was Q and Picard, you know, was Q sticking his fingers in the primordial ooze? No, of course he wasn't actually doing that. But that's not the point of the episode.
I mean, you really should have brought
a
microscope.
That's a good point. But that's a good point because it makes me think back to Tapestry. I mean, there's no... Riker doesn't have a memory of interacting with, you know, Lieutenant Junior Grade Blue Shirt Picard. Like, that doesn't happen at all. It's just all part of Q's playing his God card.
Which really, but yeah. That anyone you're playing with and they pull that card, I mean, it's just a jerk move.
Yeah, yeah. He's really bad at Cards Against Humanity. The trial never ends.
Okay, well, obviously these are great episodes we talk about forever, but like another one is in this sort of it's complicated, it happened, but it didn't, and then the end ends with the beginning, is Parallels. And so this is, of course, when Worf goes into universes. How would I describe them? Parallel universes.
That's a great name for an episode.
Look, I'm just saying, we're very literal. And it's interesting because there's sort of a suggestion that he actually ends up in a different universe because he started in the Prime universe and the Surprise Party universe. But he ended
I love the idea that
the defining factor of that universe.
That, so we have in Star Trek, of course, we have the mirror universe, you know, and then of course we have the surprise party universe.
Yes,
the super beard Riker.
It's like JJ.
That's awesome.
And then you
that's true.
Then you have
that's
the not one surprise event universe different. At the end. So, so Darren, and also it's a reverse, well, I don't know what you would call it, because then he gets the idea of dating Troy from the other universe, but did it ever happen?
Right, but the impact of his adventure does alter, either it alters the universe that he ends up in, if it's not the same one, or he ends up in one that's very, 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 very similar, but just tiny bit different. And Sin Party didn't get the memo that the senior staff wanted a surprise party for Worf, so that didn't happen. But the painting was still there, so that's all good.
Oh, Battle of...
Yeah. Battle of Kanar, right? Yes. But yeah, no, I like Parallels. It's a really fun episode. It's fun, you know, all the pulling out all the different bridge pieces and the uniform changes, and you know, I love those comm badges with the rank on them. That's actually kind of cool.
Also love how bad could, I mean, how many episodes of Star Trek have we seen where like Alien of the Week comes on board the Enterprise or Voyager or Define or whatever, and just like automatically knows, like, oh, here's all the buttons, beep, bop, bloop, bop, beep, I win. Where you have Parallels where Worf's like, I don't recognize the configuration, I can't fire the torpedo button. Like, really? Because
up is down, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria.
Was it like in QWERTY? Like, because that was, I guess, yeah. You know, from
he's a Dvorak, obviously. But that also, I mean, that's also, like you said, that's a great line, though, because that's something that's always kind of implied about Elkars, is that you can reconfigure it to however you want, however you most are used to. Like, there's standards, obviously, but if you really like the photon torpedo button to be on the left because you're left-handed and you want to be like, pew, you know, you could do that.
Something that's implied but never shown on screen. I feel like this is very important to actually point out.
Well, see, if you hold down on the home button, it puts Elkars into jiggle mode, and then you're able
wiggle,
yeah, you're able to move all the... I'm just now picturing them, like, moving the different clusters of buttons into different... And then they lock it, and they're like, nah, I don't really ever use this button. Let me just hide it over in this folder over here.
By the way,
not many people know, if you press shift, it will actually fire torpedoes faster.
And that would actually be a terrible interface, because imagine there's an emergency on the bridge, right? Guys, I know this is tough to imagine, but I'm going to paint a picture for you right now.
Emergency on the bridge.
You're okay. On the Enterprise D.
Read alert.
Right? And somebody other than Worf is at tactical.
And
we get hit by something. Rocks fall from the ceiling. Sparks fly from the console. This person gets killed. They get knocked out immediately. And then you are the backup person. You come in, and this configuration is totally alien to you. You have 1 second to fire a phaser or a photon torpedo, and you have no idea. This person is like in Southpaw mode, and you don't even know what the hell's going on. So
they're red-green colorblind, so even the buttons' colors don't even make sense.
This just wouldn't work.
These are so very fascinating.
So many buttons.
So many buttons. I'm just saying.
But, or you could be a little, what is it, Jeremy Astor or whatever, like,
I press something.
I'm sorry, I put my hand on the console right as the ship exploded.
And yet, on the experimental ship, in ship in a bottle, or no, message in a bottle, is if you smack your hand on it, you'll separate into the tactical sequence.
Yes.
Yeah. That doesn't seem like the best configuration, I'm just saying.
Especially if, say, you know, their fingerprints don't match somebody who should have the authority to do that kind of a maneuver.
So we sort of say Parallels is sort of like Worf playing Picard in that one. So, cause and effect. That didn't happen except for the last 5 minutes.
There's a whole book that really talks about what happens after those 5 minutes.
Wait, is this the Animorphs
interested.
Book, Darren?
No, not the Animorphs book. Ship of the Animorphs.
No, so, I mean, cause and effect, obviously, you're very well versed in cause and effect, Darren. I mean, you know, obviously, 3/4 of that episode didn't that happened, obviously, but, like, not really. It's Groundhog Day, obviously, of Star Trek TNG. What are your thoughts on sort of, like, you know?
It's true. The only one that happens is the one where all the threes are happening and everyone's like, what is going on? Because that's the last loop where they don't blow up. So, yeah, and then the only reason they know how long it was because they scan the closest time buoy or whatever, and they're like, oh man, we've been doing this for weeks or whatever.
I mean, I guess that's like actually like Groundhog Day, which I haven't seen in probably years. So like,
so I'm now picturing Picard wakes up and the computer's all like, "I got you, babe."
Well, like for the people that are not Bill Murray, you know, only the last time ever happened, or is it just like your memory gets erased? I mean, the same thing for cause and effect. So like, you know,
but yeah,
yeah, Daniel, what is your cause and effect theory?
Well, you know, I was actually just going to say that much like Ferris Bueller. Never actually seen Groundhog Day.
Oh my gosh.
But, send all of your 80s DVDs to One Up Man.
Hey, I know some 80s movies, guys. I've seen Star Trek 4.
Well,
No.
So no Groundhog's Day and no
Ferris Bueller.
No Ferris Bueller.
You didn't tell me you haven't seen Ghostbusters.
I've seen both Ghostbusters 1,000 times. So see,
okay,
it's you know, listen. Darren, listen, this probably goes for everyone here, but if you were born in the 80s, there are a lot of films that maybe you don't know from that decade, popular films, and I would find one. I bet you I'd find one that you haven't seen, Darren. But no, cause and effect is interesting as well,
but not Groundhog's Day. I mean, anyway.
It's interesting.
It's okay.
It is interesting because, yeah, I guess really for the point of the ongoing story, the last 5 minutes are really the only ones that matter for TNG.
But yeah, that's the only time loop that they remember because it doesn't get reset. But, you know, they didn't learn how to play the piano or anything useful. But
all right. Well, that doesn't. I've actually just remembered an episode that I haven't mentioned, but I'll just save it till the end. Well, I'll just say it now. And this would actually go under... Because I can't remember how it ends, actually. Conundrum. Is that... That would be no memory? Because obviously, you know, they don't have any memory for... Except, no, they do remember that one. So I guess that doesn't really count. Because they actually do remember at the end everything that happened. So, never mind.
Yeah, but I mean, it is
they
important...
They just aren't acting as themselves.
Yeah.
It is important that you mentioned Conundrum just because of Commander McDuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is.
I mean, it was in the intro of the episode.
Yeah.
Well, so.
Yeah. Because there's one thing, you know, it, in some ways, that is sort of the antithesis of what I'm talking about because they actually remember at the end of Conundrum. You know, if it was one thing where, like, you know, the whole episode is they, you know, they all had amnesia and they discover it, but then when all their memories come back, they don't remember what happened, but they do. They remember the whole episode. And so it's like, well, then they grew from that. And that's where you get the little commentary about Riker being, you know, come on, man. Choose one. All right. Anyway, so my last category was, it was all an illusion.
Illusion.
An illusion, Michael. Picture what? Anyway. All right. So future imperfect. That's where Riker goes into the future, but it's not really because it was fake. It's a fake.
And it wasn't even that fake. It was the fake of the fake.
Yes, it was the fake of the fake. So I mean, you know, he remembers it all, but it's one of those things like, do you, I mean, it's a good, I actually like it. I'm not trying to criticize any of these.
No,
but it's sort of like, you're like, well, really? Okay. I mean, cause like none of that was real, obviously. So those imaginings are like, oh, this is what a Riker Enterprise would be like. And you're like, no, it was just fake, made up. So Daniel, Captain Riker being a fake, how's future imperfect for you?
He's a fake.
It involves Romulans too. So.
So there you go.
Or does it?
Well, actually, it doesn't.
Well, yeah. I like that episode for a lot of reasons. You know, it's kind of, it plays on Riker's I want to be captain kind of sensibilities. And then, of course, what does him in? What he actually kind of needs to learn in order to break out of this idea that this is real. Is his wife Minuet, the hologram. So
who's also
continuity.
Fake.
Who is also fake. It is, and it's a big continuity play there. This was what, season six, maybe seven? Five, six.
It's between one and seven. You got
five,
you
six,
got
seven.
These are your TNG experts here, Earl Grey.
Actually, I think it might be a little earlier than that. It might be five. It might be five or four, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
I think it was season one episode.
I think it was
Creature Imperfect was season four episode.
Four. Yeah, see, it was earlier than I thought it was.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
But yeah, and then that's you know, one of those episodes where they're actually playing the potential future But it's presented in a way that we're never really supposed to believe that this is an actual future, right? It's never supposed to be, oh, this is what's going to happen. This is like, oh, this has always been, you know, this has always been a deception. This is always a seduction. This is always kind of trying to trick the person into believing what they want is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, you know, it's not like suddenly we were going to just do 10 years in the future of Next Generation and just be like, yeah, no, that totally happened. So, yeah. What about you, Darren? What are you thinking of the, no, it was a fake, no, it was a fake, no, it was just a kid?
Yeah, I think it's hard because Riker never really believes it. I mean, it's like the whole
point. I don't know, Darren. I could get used to the idea of a Ferengi at Khan.
Well, it's not just that, but it's the fact that he is like 16 years of, and then of selective memory loss. Like, I can remember who I am and all this, but just not. And it's just, I'm with him. He's like, yeah, I don't believe this. Like, this doesn't make sense. Like, and even as the illusion starts to break down, if you were really believing it, you'd be like, yeah, Data might be able to overcome not using contractions in 16 years.
And get promoted. You know, it's possible.
Yeah, Picard. You know, so if you really believed it, it'd be easier for the pieces to fall into place. But because he never really ever considers it, he's just always on the defensive, and that's how the illusion breaks down.
Yeah, it's a good episode, but it just causes you to think. So another one that was, it was all an illusion, is Remember Me. If you remember.
Who?
But this is part of the trilogy of The Traveler, coming soon to Blu-ray. And this is where Beverly basically, I guess if you're keeping track at home, probably 5 minutes into the episode is suddenly in a parallel universe, not that you know it until the end. And I don't think we find out what's really going on, maybe 3/4 of the way. I'm kind of making that. When we finally see, like, Wesley or whatever, like, oh, no, it's the other side. So Beverly's in a fake world. So Darren, you know, was it worth the because this is the Beverly's the only one who knows what's going on, or right. Not really. I suppose everyone else does.
Display the nature of the universe.
That's right.
Here's a question you can't answer, computer. Ha! What is the last number of pi? 4. Oh my gosh! It's interesting. I don't remember. Isn't it because she's like exposed to
a
Wesley's
war bubble when she visits bubble? Engineering? Yeah. She gets trapped in a bubble. Because that's real stuff that happens.
Yeah, I don't know.
What would Freud say about the son capturing his mom in a war bubble?
But like also towards the very end where she's like, wait, so this entire ship was built so you and I can just gallivant around the cosmos. Like,
I mean, what shipper
sense,
would write this story?
Yeah, it does feel very fanfic-ish. But yeah, it's not so much an illusion as it is almost like a pocket universe.
The one that she makes up, or isn't that the explanation that she was thinking about losing people?
Oh, yeah, so, I don't know. Yeah. It's a bit of a stretch, no matter how you slice it.
You can't slice a warp bubble, though.
Yeah.
Daniel, what about you? Remember Me? Does it, you know, do you feel cheated, or is it like, oh, okay, well, that's a thing?
Eh.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
You're right. I think there are better Traveler entries. Let's see. So going back to Riker for a moment, Frame of Mind.
Yes.
So, Daniel, what do you think about it? Because I'm not crazy.
Yeah, Frame of Mind is also, you know, of all of the entries that we've talked about so far, it's, you know, it's at least played and kind of presented in such a way that it's not so far-fetched. It's like
wow.
the idea is someone that we've known and experienced be actually insane. And, you know, it's an interesting kind of character study into Riker, and in a lot of ways, sometimes I mix up what he does in this episode with Schisms. But that's just because my head kind of conflates the two, like, oh, it's a fake reality. Somebody's trying to do stuff to him in the shadows and it's secret. And it's very different in this episode for sure. But, it's interesting.
I mean, Darren, this is obviously the sort of Inception change. Not that that was existed then, but this is sort of like,
exactly,
you know, like what is reality? Which, I mean, that's the whole, does it really happen? What is any of this happening? What is real? What is not real? And that's what this whole episode is, I guess, about, you know, because it's the play within the story, within the story, within the play.
Yeah, I could definitely see him not wanting to do the play after this, being like, you know, I just not really up for it. But yeah, and it says this one, these kinds of episodes are tricky because it's hard when your main character really doesn't know what's going on. And so you need to have enough information that you're kind of going along with him, but you can't know the answer already because otherwise there's no point in watching. So the way they string out the story, you makes you kind of doubt, like, is he going insane? Or, you know, is, you know, and the twist at the end where they're trying to extract information and such. So it's a great episode. It's really well written.
So after we've taken this journey, or did we, what do you all think of how TNG handled these sort of, because, I mean, you know, the other Star Trek series sort of have their own versions of you know, did we really experience this? Or are we hitting reset buttons or parallel universe? I mean, just like random ones I'll think of, like, so Enterprise, season three, I'm forgetting, is it, where, you know, Archer wakes up and it's the future and Earth's destroyed and he and T'Pol, you know, she's just taking care of him, blah, 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 blah. But then he does some sort of temporal thing that resets everything and he goes back to the beginning. I forget if he even remembers what happened or anything. But, you know, the other shows, and then you have like Far Beyond the Stars, which you mentioned, Daniel, for Deep Space Nine. Voyager always accused of, you know, Year of Hell. You can use Year of Hell, obviously. TOS. I don't know if they really had an episode where they forgot what happened, but they sort of had, I think it was the Naked Visitor, where they went back in time from, like, they got to relive those days all over again or something. But anyway, so Darren, what do you think about how TNG handled the, did it really happen? Did it happen?
I mean, it's no Year of Hell. I mean, it's not like we took two whole episodes and just completely erased them, but... yeah, no, I think, you know, and what's interesting is not very many of these actually deal with time travel. It's either an illusion or something put forth by an alien, and I think we get a lot of great variety in Star Trek The Next Generation with these kinds of things, all the more leading to Captain Picard getting an inquiry from Starfleet Command as they're like, really, Picard, this all go down? We're not so sure.
And that's really it, because on this two-person podcast, which we've had the whole entire time, I mean, that's pretty much the only...
Yeah, I mean, why would you have a podcast with three people? I mean, no one else has that.
What, would it make sense to have a third person? Oh, wait, no, Daniel, you've been here the whole time?
I am Commander McDaniel.
No, Daniel, what are your thoughts about how TNG handled these sort of, because I mean, look, it's just a way to tell a story. I'm not criticizing, but, you know, how do you, was it all hits and hits, or were there misses, or do you feel like, come on now, guys?
Well, you know, honestly, if you asked me that question before we had this talk, I would have said, you know, it's even, but I seem to have been defending these kind of alternate timelines, alternate histories, pocket universe episodes more than I would have expected. So, you know, thinking about it now, I would actually say that maybe they did pretty well. Of course, you know, room for improvement, and not everything was perfect, but there are solid episodes, things like Tapestry and All Good Things, where, you know, you could say that these are forgetful, quote unquote, amnesiac kind of episodes, but they have an impact. And maybe they don't have an impact on the characters, but they have an impact on the viewer. And something you didn't mention, Philip, that we did mention on our last episode, yesterday's Enterprise, another episode where kind of it's all forgotten by the end, by everyone. Really, right? And, you know, I think for the most part, they did pretty good.
Well, I feel like if you're listening to this episode was only a dream, folks. This never happened. You'll notice there was no Earl Grey this week. But talking about things that never happened are not the only things that have been mentioned on the network this week. Here's what else you may have missed, or did you, on Trek.fm.
Previously on Trek.fm. The Orb.
The Wadi, a fun-loving race from the Gamma Quadrant, arrive at DS9 eager to play a game with Sisko and the crew, one that appears to be a matter of life and death. All right, so are we moving along, Matthew?
Oh, we're moving along.
The Ready Room.
He's carrying in the lamb chop sock puppet saying, "She stayed at her post."
While Charlie Horse ran.
While Charlie Horse ran.
To the journey!
My last one, I think I might get a little bit of grief from you. Workforce, part one.
Oh my god.
I know. Hey, I did not make fun of Fairhaven.
That's because Fairhaven's good and Workforce is boring.
Oh, bite me.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
You know, you come up with something stupid because of some joke that someone said and someone else said, and then all of a sudden you're doing a tournament of movies which J.J. Abrams produced to determine which one is the crappiest.
The 602 Club.
We start getting hints of Thor, we start getting hints of Cap, we start getting hints of the entire Avengers crew, and we get Black Widow. So, I mean, Iron Man 2, considering how maybe that's not my favorite movie of the MCU, really does set up a lot of what is to come.
Literary Treks.
You know, visually, to me, this is one of my favorite eras of Star Trek. You know, those monster maroon coats they're wearing, and they're just absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, a lot of people talked about wanting to get a Captain Sulu Star Trek series, and one of the big reasons for me that would be so great is to see this era played out visually on a regular basis.
Women at Warp.
Her voice as a computer voice has become so iconic that when Google started developing what is now known as Google Now, that personal assistant you can speak to, they had initially codenamed it Google Majel.
That's so cool.
Isn't that awesome?
Meta Trex.
And I kind of had the jingle in my head, you can be a winner at the game
yes.
of life. And I was trying to think of the Star Trek version of that. You know, you can be a winner of the poker game of life on the Enterprise. It didn't really roll off the tongue, so.
It was great until you added on the Enterprise.
Melodic Treks.
The reason why I think Brian Reitzel would be a more plausible choice is because he has worked with Fuller in the past. They worked together on Hannibal. He scored that series, all 39 episodes. The neat thing about Brian Reitzel's music is it's more of a sound design than it is a score.
Saturday Morning Trek.
One of the characters is sizably larger than the other.
So he's just closer to the camera, Aaron, obviously.
But he's actually behind the other person.
He's a giant.
Wait, then he doesn't need a laser cutter. He can just lift the hatch up with it. Go down and get it.
Okay. Continuing mission.
Yeah, and of course, another great thing is when it's all finished and you look at it and go, yeah, we made that together. Yeah, that's one of the greatest moments. And people respond to it and say, oh, that's pretty well made. The effects are great. The actors are great, even though they're Dutch trying to speak English, right?
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out these shows to get in on the daily Trek talk. You'll find them in iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Windows Podcast Directory for Xbox and Zune. Visit the Trek.fm website for the full Trek experience. You can view our podcast directory to stream the audio from all of our shows. If you would like to contact us, just go to trek.fm/contact. From there, choose Message to a Trek.fm show and select Earl Grey. These messages will be relayed by Starfleet to the three of us. In social media, you'll find us on facebook.com/trekfm or join our Facebook listener discussion group called The Babel Conference. Find it by searching The Babel Conference on Facebook. Now let's take a moment to talk about our sponsor this week, Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to read but never thought you'd have time for. This is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, and even some of the most famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive, Federation, and Spock's World, Audible has something for everyone. Now, as a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. So give it a try today. Catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank Audible for supporting Earl Grey and Trek FM. There's one more way you can directly help us to keep Earl Grey coming to you each and every week, and that's through becoming a patron of Trek FM. By visiting patreon.com/trekfm, you can choose among various pledge levels and receive rewards for becoming a Trek FM patron. These rewards let you inside the observation lounge of our network and make it possible for us to distribute all our great content. So please become a patron and visit patreon.com/trekfm today.
All right. Darren, if folks want to know whether all of Earl Grey is a dream, where can they reach you?
Let's see. They can... All hands abandon ship! All hands abandon ship! No. They can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi. That's D-R-S-C-I-F-I. Or if they want to talk about the dream state of the animated series, they can find me every other week with Aaron Harvey on Saturday Morning Trek.
And Daniel, if folks want to talk about the different adventures Q has taken you on, or has he, where can they find you?
They can find me on my little side project podcast, Procure Adventures.
Which one is that about?
It's not a real thing. But they can also find me on Twitter, at one of Dan, that is the number one, not the word.
All right. And if folks want to talk to me about... Well, I've forgotten. They can find me on Twitter, where my handle is NC Public Servant. That's NC4. All right, guys. Well, it's been great talking about things that never happened on TNG. I'm going to have to really go over and pick up my Star Trek The Next Generation Companion by Larry Nemechek. All that, I'm sure it stores near you. And just look about how many of these episodes actually did happen. Were there 7 seasons and 3 movies? I think that's what happened. Until next week, make it so.
And
live long and prosper.
Fire.